Governor Daniels, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Indianapolis and the 2009 regional meeting of the Philadelphia Society. I'm Roger Rehm, and it's my privilege to serve as president of the Society. This weekend, we meet to consider the pursuit of truth inside and outside the Academy. This is certainly a timely theme. Thank you for coming to Indianapolis this weekend as we hear a range of speakers who will take up many aspects of this theme. I encourage everyone to join in the discussions, both in the formal sessions and in the hallways. Before we get started, there are several people here I would like to recognize who made this meeting possible. Please hold your applause until the end. First of all, our dedication of this meeting to the memory of former members Pierre Goodrich, the founder of Liberty Fund, and Ben Rogge, professor of economics at Wabash College, are not accidental. You will hear more about this from Ed Fulner after the meal. We especially want to recognize the Liberty Fund, particularly their president Chris Talley, Alan Russell, and their colleagues for their enthusiasm and support of this meeting. It's been unstinting. Also, we wish to recognize some Philadelphia Society board members and members who are with us tonight who serve on the board of Liberty Fund. These include Alan Russell, Manuel Ayau, Leonard Liggio, Joe Johnston, Ramon Periaya, Giancarlo Abarguin, and Eduardo Mayora. A double recognition should also go to Ed McLean, who because of health problems cannot be with us tonight. He was a close personal friend and colleague of Ben Rogge's at Wabash College. He sends his best wishes to all of us here this weekend. In our audience tonight are several members of the Society who have contributed to the written record of the ideas of these men. I saw Bill Dennis here earlier, my good friend from Washington, from Virginia, formerly of Liberty Fund, who edited a book, Why Liberty? The book contains essays by both Pierre Goodrich and Ben Rogge, and selected presentations, including Doug Denial's Education as Civil Society, which was an address he gave at the last Philadelphia Society regional meeting here in Indianapolis. Also in attendance tonight is Dane Starbuck, the author of The Illuminating History of the Goodrich Family. The Liberty Fund is graciously distributing a flyer tonight, giving away four of these books. If you send it in after the meeting, you'll receive them in the mail. Steve Ely of Liberty Fund has been immensely helpful in organizing a mini conference on Ben Rogge and Pierre Goodrich's ideas on education at Wabash College. It immediately preceded our meeting. The overlaps with Wabash College also include my good friend Bob Russell, who's here tonight. Bob is a Wabash graduate and a fundraiser for many conservative schools and organizations. He learned his craft with the help of our deceased distinguished member, Al Campbell, father of our esteemed secretary, Bill Campbell, who, although Al Campbell was a DePauw graduate, and he was a law partner of Pierre Goodrich's and did fundraising for Wabash. Wabash and DePauw, for those of you who don't know it, are nearby rivals, adversaries, foes. I'm searching for a strong enough word, but their rivalry is very intense. The link between all these names I've mentioned and the institutions I've mentioned is Don Lipset, our Hoosier founder in 1964, permanent secretary of this society until his death in 1995. Without Don's brilliant vision and his personal abilities to gather together the many diverse branches of the conservative movement, this society and this evening would not have been possible. I would also like to thank my good friends at the Atlas Economic Research Foundation, our distinguished member Leonard Liggio, Atlas President Alex Schaffwen, who put on a mini conference today on the advance of liberty. Tonight, we're fortunate to have with us one of those all-too-rare elected officials who actually studied first principles of conservatism and the freedom philosophy, who's actually read the works of Milton Friedman, F.A. Hayek, Russell Kirk, and Ben Rogge. He's also a rare public official because despite the pleas of many, myself included, that he run for higher office, he's resisted those calls in order to focus on his task at hand, serving as governor of the state of Indiana. Just briefly, I'd like to highlight his accomplishments in introducing him to you. When Mitch Daniels became governor, he inherited a state budget that was $700 million in debt, and he quickly, completely paid it back and passed three state balanced budgets without raising taxes once. Today, Indiana sits on over $1 billion in reserves, one of only a handful of states with a reserve fund and not in deep financial trouble. When asked recently by a Wall Street Journal reporter how he cleaned up the state balance sheet, Mitch replied with characteristic wit, quote, "Prepare to be dazzled. The answer is that we spent less money than we took in." By the way, knowing Mitch as I have for a number of years, he has a wit. The closest anyone reminds me to Mitch's wit is Ben Rogge, who also had that great dry wit. And I saw just recently, I think it was in a Chicago paper, when Mitch wondered out loud what the world was coming to when Chicago politicians can't fix an election. This was after the Olympic Committee decided to put the Olympics in Brazil. So, I guess they saved their prowess for the Nobel Committee in Stockholm. While many Hoosiers have wondered if Mitch was moving too fast as governor, he never lost his appetite for reform. He cut and capped homeowners' property taxes. He reduced state employee rolls by 5,000 to their lowest level since the 1980s. He sold off eight state aircraft and over 2,000 state automobiles. He's transformed the Bureau of Motor Vehicles and earned it the designation as the best in the nation by cutting the average wait time to under 8 minutes. That kind of worries me because the DMV has always been our classic example of why we don't want government to run healthcare, but Mitch has made the DMV efficient. He created an inspector general to root out waste and fraud. Remarkably, he negotiated the lease of the Indiana tollway for $3.85 billion. After it had been losing money for decades. And he's earned the state of Indiana its first ever AAA credit rating. Mitch has proved that results do matter. He was overwhelmingly reelected despite the Obama landslide that included Indiana. Mitch won 79 of 92 counties. He won a vast majority of independents. He even won a quarter of the Democratic vote. He's a pioneer, a problem solver, and one of the most popular governors in the country. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you'll join me in welcoming the man they call my man, Mitch, Governor Mitch Daniels.